When it's time for New Year's, there's a lot of times you hear the expression, Happy New Year. And we even have a menu of food that you're to eat in order to try to make that happen. I believe what it is black-eyed peas for good luck? And is this coming down? No. And then greens for wealth. How's that working out for you? I want you to look at one where God gives us the design for happiness. And we're going to go to the book of Psalms. And we're going to go to the very first psalm. And I wanted us to read it together tonight and look at it. So I invite you to take your Bibles. If you didn't bring yours, there's some on the pew around you. If you would take one of those and open to Psalm 1. Let's read together. We'll break it down. Typically, it's divided into four sections. Verse 1, talking about the negative aspect of what the man who will be happy does not do. And then in verse 2, what the man who will be happy will do, what he's doing, what he does. Then the reward for the man who will be happy and who is following God's instructions. And then verse 4, the comparison, verses 4, 5, and 6, between the man who will do what God would have him to do and those that do not. So let's take a look, and we'll start with verse 1, which contains what he will not do. How happy or how blessed, literally it can mean how happy, is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. The first thing to notice is the tense. The man who is happy is singular. And he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked ones, plural. Nor does he stand in the path of the sinners, plural. And he does not sit in the seat of the scoffers. That's plural. And the idea, it seems to be, is that walking in the way to be happy, and walking in the way that God would have you to walk, is sometimes a lonely walk. And sometimes it's something that is done all by yourself. Whereas the path of the wicked has a lot of those who follow it. It's like what Jesus said about the two ways. There's a way that is straight and narrow, and there are a few on it. And then there's a way that is broad and crooked that leads to the eternal destruction. And there are many that travel that way. And so the ones who travel this road to be happy are not very many. There are very few. And as we read through the psalm to understand what this is, we begin to see why. And we can begin to see how we are doing with regard to walking this path that God prescribes that leads to happiness. And then look at the progression in verse 1. And the progression goes from walking to standing, to sitting. And the idea of walking, you carry with it the idea of movement. Moving towards something, not moving away from it, but paying attention to it, allowing it to catch our attention, allowing it to be something that we consider. And then pausing and stopping, where we're not walking anymore, we're standing. And when we are standing, we are giving serious consideration to what is being said, what is being described for us, what is being advised to us from individuals who have no thought for God, or very little thought for God, and no thought for God's way. And then the progression goes from walking toward it or with and heeding the advice and listening to it to standing in it to where we sit in it. And it becomes a habit. It becomes who we are. It becomes what we are about. And it doesn't go into detail about what this advice is, but it becomes very clear before we get to the end of the psalm what it is not. And therefore, what it is, that this advice and this counsel and all of these things that are done by the wicked are. But here's the righteous one. The one that is righteous does not heed what others are saying when it's contrary to the will of God. The one that is righteous does not pause and give credence and serious consideration to what is advised by those that are wicked. And as a result of that, neither does he sit with them, where he becomes one of them, and he becomes like them. That's what he doesn't do. Here's what he does do. But his delight is in the law. And we may want to change that word. Matter of fact, we probably should. Because it gives a connotation that may not be exactly what the psalmist has in mind. The word that should literally be here is the word instruction. So it's not the idea of holding a book, not the idea of having a book, but you can't have the instruction without the book. But what you're doing is paying attention to the instruction. Not just holding the book in honor, but opening it up and listening and reading its instruction. And more than listening to it and reading it, his delight is in the instruction of the Lord. And in his instruction, he meditates day and night. And the literal idea behind meditate would be to recite, where he's speaking it out loud to remind himself of it. I'm reading so many different things that indicate the way the ancients read was out loud. And I'm running across a lot of different sources that indicate that. That they did not read silently, but they read out loud. And a part of that would be because of the very great difficulty there was in getting reading material. And therefore, when somebody had a copy, they would read. And they'd read out loud, which was the way you read. That was the way the Ethiopian was reading when he was reading from the book of Isaiah. Because when Philip approached the chariot, he heard him reading. And reading out loud carries with it this idea. But not only do you read out loud, but you quote out loud. You say it out loud. One of my favorite stories about Gus Nichols was a story told about how he memorized scripture while he was plowing cornfield behind a mule. He would get to the end of the row, and while the mule was turning around, he would read a verse. While got the mule straightened out and they started down the row, he would close the Bible and put it in his pocket and hold on and then recite what he had just read to the end of the row. And when he got to the end of the row, they turn around again, he'd read the next verse and then put the Bible away and recite it until he got to the end of the row and recite both of them. And that's the way he memorized scripture. And that's sort of the way of being talked about here by the righteous person. He meditates upon it day and night. He recites it day and night in answers to his questions, in response to what do I need to do, what would God have me to do. He would recall to mind instruction from God. And he would meditate on that instruction constantly as he went through his life from day to day. His delight, it's not in the counsel of those that are not listening to God. But his delight is in the instruction of the Lord. And in his instruction, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The physical image that God paints of this individual who is going to be the happy one, the individual who is constantly in love with and meditating on and reciting God's instruction and living by God's instruction, that individual is going to be like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water. Not one stream, but it's multiple streams. And some liken it to a tree in the middle of several irrigation ditches. Or it could be like a tree that is planted at the source of several different streams. And so the nutrition and the food that are given to those roots that he cannot see because they're submerged in the soil or they're under the water, and you can't see what is feeding this tree through that root system and what those roots are eating, it's almost invisible. But whatever it is, this tree is being fed to the point its leaves never die. Its leaves stay constantly green. And it's giving its fruit constantly in every season. And that's the nature of this tree. But what's the source of its strength? In the image, what's the source of its strength? For the tree, it's the streams of water. For the happy man, what's the streams of water? The Word of God. The very thing he's meditating on day and night. The very thing he delights in. The very thing that he's feeding his mind, he's feeding his heart, and he's feeding his soul with every single day. For that reason, whatever he does, he will prosper. Maybe not always in a worldly sense. Would the world have considered Jesus a prosperous man? But look how prosperous he is, even in the world today. Whatever he does, he will prosper. The wicked are not so. They're not like that. And so there's another contrast. The wicked are not like that tree whose leaves stay green all the time and who's constantly giving forth its fruit. The wicked are not like that, but they are like the chaff, the dead parts of a plant. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, pay no attention to what God says, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They will have no honor there. They will have no success there. They will have no reward there. And when they stand in the judgment seat, or when they stand to be judged by what they are doing, they will not succeed. They will not be accepted. They will not be welcomed. Nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. When the righteous are called together, they will be out of place. They will have no part in it. They will have no place in that assembly. And here's the key. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What is the way of the righteous? It's not his own way. The way of the righteous is God's way. Because the way of the righteous comes from the instruction of God himself. He's not teaching himself. He's not training himself. His instruction comes from God. Frank Sinatra used to sing a song. Elvis Presley picked it up. And the title of the song, well, it may not be the title of it, but the main line in the song is, "I did it my way. I took the blows and whatever else is there, and I did it my way." That's not the happy man. Because he's not doing it his way. His delight is in the instruction of the Lord. And he's doing it God's way. And for that reason, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Because it's the Lord's way. And it's the Lord's instruction that directed that way. But the way of the wicked, where's that way? That's the way within himself. That's the way of doing what I think. But the way of the wicked will perish. And so the book of Psalms begins with the heart of what it means to be a righteous person and the heart of what it means to be a happy person. And it's that individual who recognizes we are made in the image of God. And the only way to be happy is to be what I was made to be. And the only way to be what I was made to be is to listen to the one who made me. And to follow his instruction. And delight in his instruction. And meditate on it. And recite it every day. And live as he has made me to live. That's the truly happy person. And that's the person that God is wanting each and every one of us to consider and each and every one of us to be. Listen to him. Have a happy new year. And here's how we do it. Here's how we accomplish it. And no matter what comes our way, if we are doing this, we will grow, we will prosper, and we will have the joy that only God can give. If you're ready to come to Christ tonight, if you need to come home to him, we'll offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.